Well, if you will, turn again tonight in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Most of us in here tonight, I pray that you're saved. I pray that you're living for God. And tonight I want to read out of chapter 3 of Colossians, starting with verse 5 down to verse 9, and then we'll turn over our 10, and then we'll look to verse 12. The Bible says, starting in chapter 3, verse 1 of Colossians, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, but now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." And then in verse 12, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond, which is bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we can put off the rags and put on the robes. And Heavenly Father, as Christians, Lord, may we do just that. And may we live our lives according to your will, not ours. Do your will in our life. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. One of the stories that I like reading most of all in the Bible is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus is a good story because the sisters send for Jesus Christ. Lazarus is a friend of God, and he dies. And he's buried in a tomb. Word is sent to Jesus, and he hesitates to come, or he waits to come. And when he does come, they meet him and said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother would still be living." I just love that. And Jesus says, "You know, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall never die." And then he comes to the part where he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus comes out of that grave after 4 days. And he's standing there in all of those burial garments. And Jesus says, "Loose him and let him go." Now that's a beautiful story, isn't it? He comes out of the grave and he says, "Loose him and let him go. Take off those rags that he's got on." Now, wouldn't it be a shame if in about 2 or 3 days you go back to meet Lazarus and he's not there? And they, you say, "Mary, Martha, where is your brother Lazarus?" "Oh, well, you know, he went back to that tomb." And you go down to the tomb and you walk in and there's Lazarus all wrapped up in those burial clothes. And he's sitting there and you say, "Lazarus, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, you know what? I was in this tomb 4 days. I kind of got used to it. And these old rags, you know, they were pretty comfortable. And I just put them back on, and, you know, I have no responsibility here. Nobody bothers me. And, you know, I'm getting pretty used to that. So I just thought I'd come back and be here in this tomb for a while. You know, that's a good story. But that's a crazy thing, isn't it? To go back to the grave and put on those old filthy grave clothes after you've been let loose. But that's exactly what we find in the writing here. We see the scripture, and the Bible says, take off the rags. Take off the grave clothes and put on the robes of Christ. In other words, take off the rags of the old life. Look at verse 5. It says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Verse 3 already tells us that we were dead, and then we came to Christ, and we died when we came to Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. We are dead in Christ Jesus. Our position as Christians is that we are dead in Christ Jesus. Now, he says, since you're dead in Christ Jesus, put to death those old members, those old things that you used to do. You see, you and I tonight, if we've been born again, and I'm supposing tonight most of us here are born again Christians. If you're not, then let me assure you, you need to trust Jesus Christ before you leave here tonight, because there's no guarantee you'll be here Wednesday night or next week. But if you're here and you're born again, you are dead in Christ, but yet there's some old things that we need to get rid of in our life. And I'm not saying that you are doing these things, okay? I'm just telling you, if we're going to live the Christian life, he tells us to take off the old way and put on the new things. Get rid of some things. And this is saying, if you're dead, why don't you act like you're dead? If you're dead in Christ, why don't you act like it and put off the old life? Put off the old life. Now, you know, verse 5 says you find a list of things that we're to put off. And all these things today are built around sex. Look at them. Now, sex is not a bad thing within the bonds of marriage, okay? It was a beautiful thing when God formed Adam and made Eve. It was a beautiful thing. We instituted marriage. But outside the bonds of marriage, the Bible says it overflows into immorality and becomes harmful and becomes hurtful in life. And he says, because of these things, because you've been put to death in Christ, your members on earth, get away from. And he goes from the sexual things, and he moves from the outside to the inside. That one first word there, fornication, has to do with the sexual sins or sexual immorality outside of marriage and sins involving the human body. And he moves from there, he moves to the soul when he goes to uncleanliness and immoral passions. That means passions that are just out of control. Look at the society today around you. Man, fornication, immorality outside of marriage. Look at the passions. You know, I don't know what our world is coming to, but it's not coming towards Christ, is it? It's going further and further away. I remember, and I try to watch mainly, if you turn on television today, every commercial you see is pushing towards sexual immorality. You would never see on television what I saw this week, I can't even think of that show. Oh, it's Victoria's Secret Models was on, I think, Thursday night. Now, I hope you didn't watch all that filth. But that's, you know, in our day growing up, you would not even have, they would not have even put that on television. And today, whenever you turn on the television, that's all you see. Our society is geared around those kind of things, that out of control passion and evil desires, sinful thoughts. Oh, they've got shows on television now, and I don't know them all, but I got off the cable and I got off the satellite and wasn't watching nothing but the Westerns anyhow, and I found out you can put an antenna in your attic and pick up that. And so I said, man, I'm saving a lot of money and enjoying life more. But still on Channel 11 and Channel, about Channel 11, about all we get, 21, you know, you get all these commercials that are geared around this stuff. And I believe our society is literally out of control. And in our churches is literally out of control. Most of our people in our Christian realm today haven't put off these things in their life, but they've just welcomed them on into their household. Folks, we ought to be watching things that are pure in our life and turning away from those things. I got my remote, and when something like that comes on, I try to move it off the channel, you know. I don't want to let it dwell in your mind and get away from it. TVs and movies and internets and books and all kinds of evil imaginations, he said here. Therefore, don't be caught doing that. Don't be watching that. Get away from that. Tell your children to turn it off. Make sure they're not watching that. You see, since you're dead in Christ, he said, put away these rags and these filthiness. And then he says, covetousness. Now, what is that? That's a desire, isn't it? That's a desire to possess. And he says at the end of it, which is idolatry, people who allow immorality and to dominate their passions in life, in their lives, it's just as bad as idolatry. And he says, these things bring the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. The wrath of God, it brings death to our life. And it takes away that good life that God wants us to live, and we're piling on the old rags again. We're kind of like Lazarus, you know. Well, we got comfortable, and we move back into the grave. Jesus says, don't do that as Christians. Put those things off. Get away from them. Flee from immorality. And then he moves to verse 8, sinful attitudes. But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger. So he starts with the outside, talking about the vulgar things that are in our life and watching things that are passions and evil desires. And then he comes in with sinful attitudes. Anger. Boy, we could talk all day long on anger. That's that inward resentment that builds up in our life. You know, anger, if you don't deal with it, if you don't get away from it, it just builds up. Have you ever, one night I was down at the farm and I was burning some pine knots. And y'all don't know what pine knots are, but some of you might. Pine knots are the old dead inside of a pine that's laid there for years. And I'm not kidding you, they burn. And there was a bunch of them out there and I piled them up and I was trying to burn all this wet stuff and I got them going. You can burn pine knots in the rain. They'll just burn. You know, I got them going good, and I come in about dark, 30, and I sat there on the front porch, and I watched it till, you know, it got about 10 o'clock, and I said, well, I better put this out and go to bed. Then I put it out. I sprayed water on it. Boy, I sprayed water on it. I wet it down till every flame was gone. I went on in the house and laid down. About 12 o'clock, I woke up. Something woke me up. I looked back outside, and there's that thing burning just as bright as ever. Those old wet pine knots lay there, smoldering and smoldering until the wind started blowing. And the first thing you know, they burst to flame again, and they started burning. You know, anger in our life is like that. It smolders, and we hide it, and we keep it, and it's just boiling inside and smoldering inside, and somebody comes along and says something completely, you know, innocent. But it's just what you've been messed up about, and all of a sudden you boil over and you lose your temper and you say something that you wished you hadn't said. You ever do that? Be honest with you, I have. You know, I've said those things that I wish, oh man, I wish I hadn't said that. Anger causes all kinds of destructive emotions in our life. Whether what you're saying to someone or what's inside of you, and the Bible says, be angry and sin not. You see, anger tells a lot about our life. You can kind of watch a person. How often do you get angry? Just don't answer, but think about that. How often do you let anger come in your life? And how much does it take to get you angry? It tells a lot about a person. You see? How easy is it? And do you stay angry very long? I know people that's been angry for years and they don't stay that way. You know, they're angry at the world, they're angry at themselves. You know, the Bible says, don't fall into that sinful attitude. I was down at Walmart the other day, and man, I tell you what, our roads are full of angry people. You don't believe it. You pull up and stop sign, and you wait till that thing turns green, and you sit there a second. The horns start honking. You know, coming out of Walmart, you got that little short line there, and then you need to have a space so people can drive through. And I was sitting down here at this other space, three cars, and then I left the space and I stopped so that the people could go through. Well, a little lady, she just pulled in front of me around and parked in the middle there. I said, this ain't going to work. Here comes a guy in a big old truck. He pulls up there and honk, honk, honk. I said, little lady, you done messed up. You know, he's going to get out and whoop you. Why he didn't back up and go around, I don't know. But he sat there and honked that horn and honked that horn and honked that horn. I wanted to shoot him. You know, he was making her nervous. He was making me nervous. I was afraid she's going to get a whipping. He had an anger problem. But she was in the wrong place, too. But, you know, our roads are filled. You just drive down the road and cut somebody off, and you'll get shot. I'm not kidding you. It is a world filled with anger. Oh, yeah, I pulled up in the parking spot the other day, and the woman was coming the other way. She wanted that, and she didn't like me a bit. She didn't like me a bit. If I'd known she was going to get that mad, I'd have let her have it. But it was mine. I was there before she was. You know? I just said, the Lord opened it up for me, and I went in there, and boy, that was my spot. You're coming from the wrong direction. Well, you know, is that your life? Think about it. Could that be you? I've seen some of our members. I thought, oh, Lord, they're members of the church. Going through line, you want to hide. Somebody said you want to hide your head. They're not my members. Boy, but think about it. Does it take very much? Hey, I was one of those at one time. Now I just say I got all day. I will get out of there sooner or later. You know, that little lady pulls out her book of coupons. I hate that. Man, and just as sure as I get up there, she unloads a book. Now, ma'am, this is on sale for, yeah. Two people in line, and I get behind the lady with the box of coupons. You've been there and done that, but I used to get a little balled over, but now I say, okay, got all day. And I just sit there and smile at her. Sir, I'm sorry about that. That's all right. Go ahead. Malice. Look at what it says, malice. You know what malice is? That's just downright meanness, isn't it? That's wishing bad on somebody, desiring somebody evil to happen to someone, you know? Man, blasphemy. Look what it says. Oh, blasphemy. What is that? That's to talk about someone, to slander someone, to do someone harm. And then it says filthy language. Boy, I tell you what, we live in a world of people with filthy language nowadays. But listen, Christians are not to do that. You know, put that away. If that's your life, you ask God to take it away from you. You know, and if you're hanging around with somebody that talks bad, you don't get away from them. That is not your lifestyle, you see? Filthy language. Look at our television shows today. Man, somebody said they wanted to go. American Sniper was good, and I said, yeah, but I told Ron, I said, you know, I heard it had filthy language. I just don't want to hear it. You know, it's the way they talk in the Army, but, man, I'm ashamed on them. You know, can't they make a movie without it? Yep, we take our kids to see it, you know, and, well, that's the way the world is. But it don't have to be a part of our world. Obscenities. You take all of these things and you put them away from your life as a Christian. And that's the reason tonight I really bring in this thing, because I know that some of you went to see all of these things, and I'm saying, listen, don't do that. Don't do that. It don't have to be a part of our life. And the reason they make millions of dollars is because we support it. Now, I'm no saint. I'll tell you that for a fact. But if you don't have to see it, you don't have to see it. And then it says, take off all these things, put them away from you. And he says, put on the robes of righteousness. Put on the new life. You see, God has given us salvation. That's a beautiful thing. God says, I give you the gift of salvation. He gives us that robe of righteousness. And each day, the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. And think about what Christ has given us in the new life. Look at what he's given us. Verse 12. Man, I love that. Therefore, as an elect child of God, or elect of God, holy and beloved, put on the tender mercies. Man, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. I'm not going to go all over those. You know what those are. All of my life, I've heard somebody say, you know, that was a good man with a good heart, or a good lady with a good heart. You know what they're saying? They were kind. Their life showed that they were kind. They were kind towards other people. You know, they didn't try to honk at them when they were wrong. They didn't cuss at them when they were wrong. And they were interested in people. They were good people. They have a good heart. They had a tender heart when someone was in trouble. You know, when someone was flattered their back, they were there to help the situation instead of hurting the situation. Always helping others, always serving others. Humility is recognizing that, you know, you're no better than anyone else. You know that? We're no better than that old boy down on the street that has nothing. It's just because God has blessed us. We ought to be humble and meek towards him. Meekness, that could be just quiet strength, quiet gentle strengthness in our life, brings unto control. I used to love to ride horses. Now Tim does that. I had a horse that was, you could bring her under control. She was just as gentle as a lamb. I took her as a little colt when we raised her. When I learned to play the piano, Daddy said, I'll buy you a horse if you learn to play the piano. Well, I learned to play the piano, and he bought me a horse. It was just a little albino horse. And I loved that horse. Her name was Candy, because she's an albino, and she's like cotton candy. She was just as white. They had a pink nose and pink blue eyes, and, you know, just like an albino. She was gentle as a lamb. I could take her and ride her to town and never put a bridle on her or saddle. Just hop on her back and pat her on the rear end, and she would take off. And she would turn, and just to put your hand on her neck, she would turn one way, hand on her neck, she'd turn the other way. She was as gentle as a lamb. I found out that you need to put a rope on her, though, because if she didn't, she'd go back home and leave you. One day I went outside my mamaw's house, and I said, "Mamaw, somebody stole my horse." She said, "Where'd you have her tied up?" I said, "I didn't. I just left her in your front yard." She said, "Call home." I said, "She don't know how to get home." She was home. We lived 2.5 miles from Recklaw, or 3 miles. She went home the same way she came and left me. You know, gentleness under control. She was a big, strong, powerful animal, but she obeyed your every touch. That's the human life. That's what it is to be meek. You have a gentleness about you, but you're under control about it. You have a power about you. You have authority about you, but you're under control. You don't misuse that. And then it says forgiveness to one another. It speaks of grace, God's attitude towards us. For by grace have you been saved through faith. God died on the cross for you and I. He forgave our sins. You know, we were there. We were at the cross. You and I was there. We were hollering out hateful things to him. You and I were there. We were spitting in his face. You and I were there. We were taunting him and said, "Come down off the cross. Why don't you ask your Father to save you now?" And you know what he said? "Father, forgive them." He could have come down on that cross anytime. He could have called down fire from heaven and consumed us. But yet he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You see? When I don't feel like forgiving, have you ever felt that way? I just don't feel like being forgiving today. You know what? I recognize that forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a decision that you have to make. You are to forgive whether you feel like it or not. I don't imagine Jesus felt very good upon the cross, but he made a decision. "I'm going to forgive them for what they've done." And folks, that's the Christian life. We've got to learn to forgive and live on a different level in our Christian life than what we were when we first saved. You see, that's how we know we have grown, when we start taking off the rags and we grow into the robes that he says, put on. You decide to forgive those who mistreat you. You've got to decide that. And then it says, above all these things, put on love. Love is that bond of perfection. Love is that garment that covers all your life. Oh, what a message that God has for us. If we'll just take off the old robes and put on the new in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. As we grow as Christians, we'll start taking off the old way of life and put on the new way. Lord, I pray tonight, if there's someone here that's lost, that they will come to trust you by faith and start living for you. Lord, as Christians, may we see ourselves and want to take off the old robes and put on the robes that you have given us, the robes of righteousness. And we give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.